The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They were kind of listing right around that last wild card spot, and even then they were at some points a game and a half up on it. The 10-game losing streak, you know, like, listen, 3-game, 5-game, 6-7 games, probably should make, once you get to double digits, I don't care that it ended last night, 10-game losing streaks are the perfect thing. When everything people had been worried about comes to fruition, that is the exclamation point and maybe the defining point of your season.
It just felt like they had no answer and no way of getting out of it. I mean, even last night, you can make an argument that they had the 4-run lead, should be pretty comfortable, and then they blew that lead, and then you watch them had to fight and claw with a Rocchio hit in order to get to take over and actually have the lead again. Like, it just, nothing's come easy with this team.
And here's the thing. We're also, listen, where maybe Steve's at is, Steve hasn't had to endure the 10-game losing streak. I mean, I think I'm even a little more calm than other people at the station because I was watching it in Michigan on a beach. So, like, I was watching it from a different vantage point of that's how most of us have ended our nights during that 10-game stretch. There's a part of me that I just don't know what they can do in the next 3 weeks that is going to change the reality of where they are and what they need going forward. Even if DeLauder came up and was lights out as a hitter, I think you're probably at least two hitters away from this being a cogent attempt at a lineup.
Yeah, I mean, the offense just isn't anywhere close to good enough, and I think it's very apparent that this team isn't close to good enough, and that's fine. Now it's just what they do from there. And it's interesting, like, we asked Steve, like, what do you do with Bieber, for instance? He's like, Bieber doesn't have a market. Like, he laughed at it.
And I actually disagree with that.
I do too. I don't know why he was so dismissive of Shane Bieber's market.
Maybe it's because he's coming off Tommy John, but the reality is, and listen, what Steve might be pointing at is, it also might be that Shane hasn't pitched in a major league game yet. And I think Shane's value gets really interesting the second he's actually on the mound for the Guardians and proves he's healthy.
Do we have an update on him, by the way, in any capacity? Because we had, 3 weeks ago? He was getting set and he was ready to go. And then it's just been like another setback. And then it just kind of has been something that's been floating.
I have not heard anything. I know John Means 2 weeks ago threw off the mound for the first time. So yeah, that probably puts him another 6 weeks away from where he needs to be, but still somewhere in the August range for him to pitch for the Guardians.
It's going to be odd, especially with the fact that we don't even know what arguably the second best pitcher for the previous, I said since May 5th on, because by wins above replacement, that's entirely accurate. But the second best pitcher we might find out in the upcoming 10 or so days that he's just not playing baseball anymore.
It's also really, really interesting just to what you're saying that if Bieber and Means both come back in August, or if Bieber comes back at the end of this month, which still feels a bit ambitious, but you get both those guys back. And then, by the way, Slade Ciccone has got a spot. Logan Allen, who has, again, been serviceable but not great. But then you've got your young guys. You can end up having a surplus. I think the post-mortem on the Guardians is, man, you spent a lot trying to fortify the rotation, and everything went right on the rotation, and nothing went right in the lineup, and that ended up, you basically overcorrected when, if you were going to overcorrect coming off last year, it probably was to fix the lineup.
Well, and so that's why Steve, when he entered the conversation, he went really hard with the idea, and this is just the outside view speaking here, but he went really hard in the idea that maybe the Guardians have gone too hard in developing the pitching. And like, you need to put some of the resources towards the hitting. But we here locally have been paying a close enough eye to understand the Guardians have been transitioning away from being this awesome pitching factory and have been trying to become this place that they can develop hitters. The problem is they're just not developing them enough.
And if anything, and this is actually
they're taking bites at the apple.
And if anything, like, the pitching machine was interrupted, right? And that's why they had to trade for Ciccone. That's why they had to trade for Luis Ortiz. Because you had gotten to a point where guys like Tristan fell apart. There's a couple other guys. Plesac just completely fell off the face of the planet. A lot of the guys you were banking on carrying your rotation for 3 to 5 years fell out. And then because you had maybe turned some of that attention, full cannons to the offense,
right,
then all of a sudden you had to backfill the pitching, which, by the way, does look like, if you look at the younger part of their system, it does look like the pitching is coming along. It is. You've got guys like Messick, you've got guys like McKenzie, guys like that.
I do think they put a lot on the idea that they could just churn out the pitching factory whenever they wanted to. Yes. And I don't know. There's a part of me there. So when they were really going, and obviously there was the transition there from Kluber to Bieber, but when it was in that Bieber, like that time in between when Kluber was still on the roster and it hadn't quite gotten to Bieber yet, but it was Clevinger and it was all these other pitchers. Trevor Bauer was in that mix as well, and Mickey Callaway was the pitching coach, but it was all these guys that were just obsessed with pitching, and I almost thought the pitching factory thing got a little overrated. Not that they weren't great, they were, but I thought it was more because the players at the big league level themselves were just so obsessive, and they were just so another level about the pitching mechanics and how to just squeeze out every juice of it. And I just never thought the pitchers themselves got enough credit in that whole discussion.
And I would really love to have a conversation with Antonetti and Chernoff and wonder why their minor league system isn't like Tampa Bay's. Tampa Bay just consistently churns out great prospects. And they're really not precious with them either. Like, they'll trade a guy who's a top prospect for somebody else's top prospect if it, like, fills a need. It basically gives them a chance. And Guardians have done a little bit of that. But mostly, like, the Guardian system has been good the last 6 or 7 years. It's also been buoyed by guys they've traded for. And I think that's... And they've had to trade for them because they haven't done a good enough job of refilling their own pond. And again, they haven't done an awful job at it. But it's interesting that if you kind of, they have been fits and starts with their player development just in entirety, which I think is really, again, they've done well enough to have the season they had last year and 2 years ago. But if they were 20% better, they would have a consistency of winning that, even though they still probably aren't winning a World Series with the way things go, man, you wouldn't have to go ahead and dip into the waters to save your season like with Lane Thomas, Matthew Boyd, and Alex Cobb last year.
It's just interesting. The whole thing is interesting. And it's funny because I don't even feel like they're that far away, but at the same time, I feel like they're miles away.
Okay, so if DeLauder came up tomorrow, he won't. But if DeLauder came up tomorrow or after the All-Star break.
No, they're more than a DeLauder
and
away.
And he was just, is it DeLauder and
Angel Martinez? I think there was a time maybe 15 games ago where I could convince myself that they weren't. They were always going to be more than a DeLauder away. But I think it would have been more palatable maybe, let's say, 15 games ago. And then you could start to see where maybe you could just fill out. You needed guys that were actually here on the roster to be better is the problem. And they just haven't been. They haven't materialized.
And this to me is the only reason I wouldn't trade the guys that they can trade. I don't know if you trade Class A for like the...
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kid from Chicago, we've talked about Owen Cassie and a couple other prospects. I don't know it would be the smart thing to bring a young kid up like that in the midst of this. Like, it is a systemic. They are pressing so hard at the plate. They're trying so hard to get it right that there's no confidence there. And it's so hard for a young guy to step into a lineup that's already hitting. It's impossible to step in, especially if you're the guy that just got traded from Manuel Clase.
If they traded for, that's a problem though. In the instance of like Cassie, for instance, they would just keep him, they would trade for him and then they'd keep him down in the minors. And then we'd have the discussion the way we're having with DeLauder and Kafis this year. And he would just be thrown in the mix next year with that.
See, the only reason I like Cassie is he had AAA experience last year and he's almost got a half a season this year.
Yeah.
Theoretically, their math problem, which is you have to have 1,000 at bats in the minors. Theoretically, that would be like one of like five guys you could trade for that wouldn't fit that.
You'd be closer to it, but I've seen this organization. You've seen it for too long. I just have a feeling that's how they'd operate.
So here's a different way to look at the Guardians of the deadline. And I don't know you're going to love it. Terry Pluto, we played his stuff on Darius Garland earlier in the show. Baskin Phelps also asked him about the Guardians of the deadline, and I didn't agree with what I think JP and I have been saying.
You don't have much to fire sale. This is not like even when they had Mike Clevinger to get rid of, or who had turned on a lot of different extensions, or when they had Lindor. The point that I'm saying is they don't have that much to sell because most of the guys that they have are younger, and there wouldn't be that appealing. You know, Class A would be very appealing to both. It should be both to Cleveland and also to other teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, Paul Sewald is making more money than Class A.
So I think it's interesting. Like, if we talk about the big picture stuff, yeah, you're probably not going to get a haul for Carlos Santana. You can get a good prospect for him. Like, because I think, also, I think we're just negating the Kwan conversation. Like,
yeah,
I think Kwan, Class A, and Santana could take your farm system from, I think it was ranked 10th best in baseball, start of the season. And that could be the very best.
I mean, I would hope so. So I was looking at some of these, and I don't know if you saw the same list. I'm not bringing up Byron Buxton to go ahead and just have a Byron Buxton conversation.
Although, he would have been great 10 games ago.
Well, let the record show. Always been a pro Byron Buxton guy. That's what makes that conversation even harder.
Didn't sound like it when you were poo-pooing it.
It just made it even harder.
He's been even better.
We got to rewrite that framing on that, by the way. I was asked for my opinion, and I gave my opinion. That is the job, is it not?
You gave your opinion, but there's giving your opinion at a nail, like a hammer, and then there's giving it like a cannon. Okay, that was bad. It's giving your opinion in the form of a six shooter and giving your opinion in the form of a cannon.
I prefer cannon.
You chose the cannon.
I prefer cannon always. You know this about me.
But you don't like the cannon. You like using the cannon, but
I
you don't want cannons
cannon.
To be used on you.
You use cannons on me all the time.
Oh,
this is a cannon versus cannon versus cannon fight.
This is no. This is a friendly pew 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 versus a shadoosh.
Shadoosh.
I did,
and he never throws cannons, huh?
I wasn't taking a shador shot there. I was trying to mimic a cannon, and I don't have a cannon sounder.
Shadoosh.
That's what you're.
We both throw cannons constantly, so So anyway,
3.3 WAR for Byron Buxton, 20 home runs.
So here's some of the offers they had up for Byron Buxton, just to give some like context for what Buxton is getting in return. And I just thought it was interesting because, like you said, like a couple prospects for Kwan, a couple prospects for Class A, and I'll even throw the Skubal scenarios that were in the mix here, the Skeen scenarios that were in the mix as well, to kind of give some proper context. I don't think you're getting nearly as much value in the open market as maybe some people think. So, for instance, Kansas City in this was going to offer Cole Reagans and David Shields. So that's like two actual major league players that's ready to go. It is what it is. But from a prospect perspective, the Phillies, for instance, Andrew Painter and then outfielder Justin Crawford. Painter is number 23 in baseball system. He is one of the – he's a very good pitcher. He's going to be an everyday starter at some point. He's very, very good. But he's still the 23rd best pitcher in baseball or a prospect in baseball, and then an outfielder in Justin Crawford. Like,
let me ask you, is that for Class A?
This is for Buxton.
Oh, Buxton.
Yeah, this is for Buxton. Yeah.
And by the way, I think Kwan's value would actually be more than Buxton's because the injury thing is a fair thing.
So, like, but if
they, and financially.
So, okay, that's interesting.
Because Byron's got 3 years after this, 3 or 4 years at $15 million a year.
So that's the advantage for Buxton, the idea that his contract is so friendly.
Oh, but he's got $10 million in incentives each year.
Because Kwan, you're going to have to pay $125 million to.
But not for the next 2 years.
No, you get to, have that relatively deferred. That is what it is. All right, how about Skeens? In trade scenarios with Skeens, I'll go to the Tigers scenario here. They offered Max Clark, who's the number 8 prospect in baseball, Kevin McGonigal, the number 11 prospect in baseball, Jackson Jobe, Colt Keith, and Sawyer Gibson Long. Like,
Who's the we? Who is this? Like a hypothetical thing?
This is what ESPN did today. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right,
sorry if I didn't weigh in the framework.
No. It's okay.
So yeah, this is ESPN coming up with these scenarios. Even like with the Mets offer is the prospect number 20, prospect number 50, and then a couple players essentially is what it is. I don't know that the haul, if people are thinking you're going to get two major prospects for Class A or two major prospects for Kwan, anything more than that, I think, is a reach. And I don't even know that you're getting that based off of what the Buxton deals are and then based off what the Skeens deals are projected to be right now.
I will say I would be surprised if you traded either guy and didn't get two top 100 prospects. Now, the devil in the details here is what else do you get? But like if you said, for instance, with the Tigers, and this wouldn't happen because you're not going to trade either guy. If you traded either guy for McGonigal and Clark, that would be a holy crap. Fans wouldn't react that way. And but I think Clark is in A ball, and I think McGonagall just went to double A. Those are two top 12 prospects in baseball. That's huge.
Yeah, they're number 8 and number 11. Yeah. Like it's a massive haul, but it's still, if like in the context of things, maybe if you're getting two top 100, maybe you got to look at it more like number 47 and number 74. But I think it's interesting. Like Skeen should get the Hall of Halls. He's got a sub ERA of 2. He's got more of a wins above replacement than he has actual wins on the season, which is odd enough. But like he is the premier in baseball.
We've got, in case we missed it, coming up for LeBron. Everything's been earned. This might be a given. In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.